Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now in this moment. Descend like fire and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The 1941 film, The Wolfman, weaves the tale of Larry Tolbert. Larry is an amiable chap who wears the same wool suits as the other men in the town. He strolls the same streets, unremarkable, unremarked, a whistle on his lips. But within Larry, a monster lurks. At night, when the moon is full, Larry's nose lengthens into a snout. Saliva drips from newly sharpened fangs. Hair rolls from his head in a matted mane. His fingers curve into claws. He bays at the silver disc in the sky. He creeps across mist-driven moors and dim graveyards. A savage hunger guides Larry. He is a needy, desperate creature. He lives only to feed and fight, to satiate his appetite and to protect himself at all costs. Wherever Larry goes, he brings chaos, destruction, and death. Larry looks like an ordinary man. Wool suit is sheepy clothing. A sheep among sheep, then, but inwardly he is a ravening wolf, a werewolf. And in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus warns us about werewolves. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Gathering the people on the mountain there, Jesus teaches the crowds the fullness of God's law for their lives. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Nine blesseds in all. Nine beatitudes. Nine blessings that outline the life of a holy, blessed people, a Jesus people, a people whose humility, mercy, and sanctity leaves their enemies frenzied with frustration. And as Jesus fleshes out what all of this means in his sermon, he preaches a single theme. The blessed people struggle towards holiness, while at the same time also loving those who are not holy. The blessed people are hard-headed about their own law-keeping, but they are warm-hearted towards their law-hating neighbors and enemies. And as he comes then to the end of the sermon, Jesus switches to an unusual topic: wolves, werewolves. Teachers will arise to explain what this blessed life means in Jesus' church, what this Jesus life means. And yet Jesus warns that some of these teachers will not be what they seem. Like Larry Tolbert, they will wear the same wool suits as other teachers and the other Jesus people in town. They will stroll the same streets unremarked, unnoticed, a whistle on their lips. But within these teachers, a monster lurks. When the moon is full, when circumstances converge, their inner wolf emerges. Their nose lengthens into a snout. Saliva drips from newly sharpened fangs. Hair rolls from their head in a matted mane. Their fingers curve into claws. They bay at the moon as they stalk God's people, God's blessed people. They live only to feed and to fight. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Werewolves have always been a problem in the church. It's one thing to have outside enemies persecuting the flock. It's another to have teachers who appear respectable but ravage the church. Priests, pastors, deacons, bishops, who turn the blessed people away from the blessed life through their teaching or their living. But of course, werewolves are hard to find out. Someone transformed last night, and now there are dead sheep all over the place. But who was it? Who is the werewolf? How do we know when a church leader is a wolf in sheep's clothing? And Jesus offers the answer this morning. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And in the next verse, Jesus will go on to explain that there will be those of the judgment saying, Lord, Lord, we did mighty works. We cast out demons. We prophesied in your name. We did amazing things. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Wolves, werewolves. And so Jesus gives us this test to ferret out werewolves. What are the results of a leader's life and teaching? What is their fruit? Do their lives reveal humility, holiness, and mercy? A participation in the blessed Jesus life? Do their lives make them people who are hard-hearted about their, or I should say hard-headed, about their own holiness, but soft-hearted towards other people? And so do they look like that blessed man Jesus? Or do these teachers always need to feed on adulation or to fight their critics? Werewolf false teachers are needy, desperate creatures who cannot control their voracious craving for praise. They bay at the moon over their victims. Like me, tell me I'm important. Gape at my healings, clap at my exorcisms. Tell me what you like, and I will give you the sermon that you want to hear. Just love me. Always the werewolf eats adulation. And if he doesn't get it, the wolfman attacks. He bites, he snarls. Are you threatening me? Are you telling me I'm wrong? You are a heretic. You are the wolf. Werewolves are too worried about their feeding and their fighting to worry about crucifying their own needy desires and offering mercy to their enemies. They are narcissists. Everything is about their needs, not the needs of others. They are soft-headed about their own life and doctrine, but hard-hearted towards sinners, other people. The New Testament commentator Frederick Dale Bruner puts it well. The moral direction of a teacher's message and the moral suggestion of the teacher's life mutually influence each other and will be the means by which disciples will be able to tell true from false. Jesus warns all of us about werewolf leaders. And werewolves, of course, slink through every kind of church. And even good deacons, priests, and bishops can get bit and turn into werewolves. It's just kind of the way things can go. As human beings, we all like to be liked and loved. But when we crave it at any cost, we unleash a monster within. Someone bites us, hurts us, and then when the full moon rises, we go feral. We feed or fight to protect ourselves. We feed on adulation. We start telling people what they want to hear, or we howl at them. And so how can we tell who is a Larry Tolbert, a werewolf? Jesus gives us the criteria. What do their lives and teaching result in? Do they crave affirmation? Do they avoid saying things difficult that will challenge favorite sins? Do they erupt like a volcano when questioned? Do they give themselves a pass on their own sins? Are they unmerciful towards others? Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Pray for your leaders, sisters and brothers. Pray for your bishops, your deacons, and pray for me. It's a temptation to be a werewolf. It's a temptation to crave adulation and seek it out. Throw out those little hints, hoping for, compliments. It's a temptation to explode when someone questions you. It's a temptation to give yourself a pass on your sins and be unmerciful towards others. So pray for me as your priest. Pray for your leaders, that we would be faithful in leading you into the blessed Jesus life, the life of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.